I talked not last week, but the week before on carefree, being carefree. I kind of painted the image. I love this. The image of Snow White, and she's just come through the forest, and she's been chased down by the huntsman. And everything around her is evil eyes, and it looks demonic, and she collapses on the ground, right? Well, that's, generally speaking, the norm for people when they're going through a trial. Right. You just end up on the floor in a puddle of tears, crying because you don't know how to handle it. You think everything out there is big and scary and frightening. But Jesus said, take no care. Take no care. He said, don't fret. One person said 365 times in the Bible you can find where God commanded us not to worry. Was Snow White worried? I mean, come on. I mean, she's terrified. She's not just worried. I mean, she has given in to pressure from every side. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we're pressured. We're perplexed on every side. But what did he say? We're not going under it. We're not. Then he goes on to say, a few verses later in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we having the same spirit of faith speak the same things. Why? Because words are faith-filled. Now, we've never really got into talking about faith. Isn't that funny? All these other things, we haven't yet to talk about faith. Not my daughter. We talk about her all the time. Oh, she's getting all A's and B's except for a C in math. I know that math, right? Let's see, let's look at that. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4. For our light affliction, light affliction, light affliction. You know, Paul was, he was left dead at sea. He was stoned dead, left for dead, beaten, imprisoned. Have you done that yet? Has anybody done that? You've been left 3 days in the sea, stoned until they thought you were dead? For our temporary light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. It's temporary. It's temporary. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, it's temporary. These symptoms that have come on my body, they're temporary. Should I get all upset and distraught, have a man cold? Because come on, ladies, once you've had a couple children, you know what it's like to be a man with a cold, right? You know what I'm saying? You all know that I'm just playing that, right? But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. What should we focus on? The temporary? Oh, look at all the eyes in the forest and everything is... Yeah. Come on, I have to muster up some courage because we've had our trash can knocked over several times and torn apart by bears. I go, I turn on every outside light. I clomp all the way to the trash can. I can't see. I know there's bears out there. Don't you, right, Carol? I mean, you've seen them, right? We've seen them. They're out there. But those things, the things that we're going through in this life, they're temporary. It's just a temporary situation. Are you always going to be behind in your bills to the point that you don't have any money to pay them? No, because eventually, even if you can't pay it, what's going to happen? You're going to go to collections. You're going to have to declare bankruptcy. Yay, I get to start over. You know, I want to say, our house that we bought closed escrow on Tuesday. It's sold. We no longer own it. We were without tenants. We were going to have to pay the mortgage payment on that and pay rent where we're at now. And then some friends said, well, we're kind of in between places. Do you mind if we stay there? We'll pay your rent. Hey, praise the Lord. What happened? Well, we didn't get into fear and worry about it. We just figured it's going to get taken care of. And if we can't make the mortgage payment, then we'll talk to the bank and do whatever has to be done. Right? You just do what you have to do. Would it have helped if I fell down on the floor in a pile of worry? Would it have paid the bill? Would it have made me feel better? No, it's going to make me feel worse, and then I'm going to get up. I'm going to have snot eyes, snot nose. I mean, it's just a mess. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help Kathy. Does Kathy need me to be strong or weak?
Strong.
Do I need her to be strong or weak?
Strong.
Strength revitalizes us. When you're around somebody who's strong, they help you feel better about your situation that you're going through, right? When you're around somebody who just, I don't know, Sandra, it's just, I don't know how we're going to make it. And Sandra just sits there and goes, that's horrible. Let's grab some tissues and cry together. Is that going to help?
No.
No, it might appease your feelings. But what's temporary? Are your feelings temporary?
Yes.
Right. This feeling I have in my body right now is temporary. Right? It's not eternal. I'm not going to feel like this forever. So if I just sit home, oh, I feel so awful. Len, can you come preach for me? It's just really bad. Or am I going to get up, blow my nose, take some medications, come into church, and get myself ready to preach? Because it's temporary. Whatever we're going through is temporary. Even if it lasts your whole life. Do you know that your life is but a vapor of smoke?
That's right.
And then it's over. Come on, then you're out of here. And if you're on the right side, you're with Jesus then on out.
Yeah.
It's temporary. No matter what it is, it's temporary. Right?
Right.
Oh, dear. Okay. I have this written down. Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's why. Silly me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side. That's the word tribulation. Everybody here has gone through tribulation. We've been troubled, right? We're perplexed on every side. What is that? That's you're in a small room and all the walls are closing in on you and there's pressure everywhere, right? Is there pressure to let a situation overwhelm you?
No.
Yes, there's pressure. It's from the outside. There's pressure from the outside to let the situation overwhelm you. Paul goes on, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Snow White is in despair. I mean, it's all coming down. She's going to die. I am in these woods and I am going to die. The huntsman is after me. All the animals in the forest are after me. She's in despair. She's going to die, right? I mean, that's why she falls to the ground. She's just going to submit to dying. I love that, by the way, that Snow White analogy. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Come on, every person in here has been cast down by somebody. Well, you just don't understand, and we can never be friends. And because of your... Well, that's it, I'm done with you. Cast down. Jesus, cast down. I mean, one day they're all hailing him as the king, right?
Right.
You turn the page, they're saying, crucify him, crucify him.
Right.
I mean, how quick does it turn? I mean, people are fickle. They judge on their feelings. I'm going to tell on my friend Len. I'm going to do that.
You are.
I'm going to do that. We had been friends since Bible college. And what was it, about 2011? So around 2011, he calls me and he says, you know, I've been looking at your posts on Facebook. Do you know how many people tell me they look at my posts on Facebook? Like, well, you sure post a lot on Facebook. Well, you sure spend a lot of time looking to see what I post on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? I had one person say, well, I saw you post that you don't like people who cry on Facebook. I'm like, I did? I went back and I looked, you know, I couldn't find anything. I had to wonder how far back they went to find that. I mean, I went back a year looking. I'm like, well, I don't see anything. I mean, my goodness. I mean, they're desperate to find something they don't like about me. So he calls me and he says, you know, I don't like some of the stuff you're posting on Facebook, and I don't think we can be friends anymore. Yeah. He says, I don't think we can be friends anymore, and I'm really sorry that, you know, you feel this way about these situations and stuff. And I said, well, okay. If that's the way it's going to be. I never cried over it. This is my best friend. I mean, this is a guy who knows more about me. I mean, he knows as much about me as my wife. I mean, we've been there for each other. And he'd call me and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. I need prayer. And we'd talk each other through stuff. I can't be your friend anymore. I said, okay. I said, well, God, you just have to deal with him. Year and a half later, we're walking in Santa Maria, there's this Walmart shopping center. And my phone starts to ring. I look down and it's Len calling me. I'm like, oh, Len's calling me. Cool. He says, you know what? I was wrong. My attitude was wrong. My behavior was wrong. Everything about how I handled that situation was wrong. And you were right. And the way you handled it was right. Well, of course, now we're best friends again. I mean, in my mind, in my heart, we never stopped. I didn't get despair. I mean, this is my best friend. I mean, he's like a brother to me. I'm never going to talk to you again. I was cast down. I just gave it to God. Do you know what I'm saying? You just give it to God. My mom did the same thing. And I really don't recommend doing this. Several years ago, they had a Christmas card. And it was the night before the rapture. It was a play on "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And all through the house, not a creature was stirring. And, you know, basically it says, except, you know, is your house in order if he comes tonight, or are you ready? And this was her Christmas card. I'm like, oh, come on, Mom. And she's sending it to people she knows aren't saved. What kind of witness is that? You better get right because it's Christmas. Jesus might come and you'll be left behind. Well, my aunt got reasonably upset about it. And she said, I am so angry with you. She said, I don't know if I can ever talk to you again. 2 years went by. Well, my aunt came back around. She apologized. She said, now you know that that was wrong, sending that out. And you know how our family feels about some of that stuff. And you never should have sent it. Well, come on, people. You have to use some wisdom, right? My mom never got distraught. She never got upset. This is her only full-blooded sister. They have done everything. We've been on vacations together for years. We have spent every holiday together for years. My mom get upset and fall? No. She just kept giving it to the Lord. Well, Lord, I know you're going to work it out. She apologized for the card that she'd sent. And, you know, God made it right. But see, would her getting upset and crying and whining about it day after day, is that going to change anything? No. Who changed it? God did. Who changed Len? God did. I didn't do it. I didn't try to make anything happen. We have to let God do it. Jesus said, the gates of hell, he said, I am building my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Does he sit up there in heaven and worry about, oh, attendance is down in some churches and oh, have you seen this political race in the United States this year? Oh, what's going to happen to the church? No! He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You with me? Is it going to help you to get upset? Is it going to help you to get distraught? Is it going to help you to be cast down and forlorn? You just don't understand how bad it is. Oh my God, if you understood how they treat me all the time. It's just miserable. I can't believe it. What's that do? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. What will trusting in Jesus do? everything. He's going to take care of it. Listen, I said this the last time I was up here talking about this. We were leaving Alaska and did not have a place to move to. We were loading the truck. We had no place to move to. The only lead we had called and said, I rented it to someone else. Verna sees this place. She calls. Well, we don't take pets. Well, I can't get rid of my dog. I mean, that's my daughter's dog. So she calls. She says, well, they've got a dog and a cat. Well, it's John and Tammy. She says, Tammy says, well, my husband is allergic to cats. Well, it's an old family pet. He's an old cat. And they said, well, he's going to be the pastor at the new church, at the church over there, huh? Well, okay. I mean, we got told no the first time. But God, see, God told him differently. Now look at them. I mean, I took my dad to the airport yesterday, because I think he's in Amsterdam right now, and then flying to Rome. He's going to go on some cruise, and he's going to be through Croatia and all this other stuff. I don't know. He names all these places. I'm like, you're only gone for 10 days, and you're going that many places? Anyway, I got worn out just listening to him talk about all the places he's going to. And I said, well, Faith said that, you know, she's going to miss having you in church. It won't be the same. And he laughed. He said, even when I'm there, they sit with you or they sit with John and Tammy. They don't even sit with me. I know. So it was funny. You know, would it have helped us to get all upset and worry and cry? Oh, God, you just don't know. I don't know how you could know. Are we making the right decision by going there? I mean, we don't have a place to move to yet. Is that going to help? No, it's not going to help. All right. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to have you turn in your Bibles now. Mark chapter 4. I don't have my regular Bible today. I feel so lost. I told Kathy, I said, I don't have my regular Bible, and the notes that I had from last time I preached this are in it. So I had to go back and I had to reconstruct where I left off from, and I had to put new marks in this Bible I've got. You know, but it's okay. She said, well, it's going to work out. Don't worry about it. Hey, come on. My wife said it's going to work out. Don't worry about it. Husbands, when your wife speaks, listen. Yes, Mark chapter 4. Yes, dear. Because I believe you, honey. Hey, listen, you know, this message is just as much for me as it is for anybody else. Right? Right. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 36. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Full of what?
Water.
The boat's filling up with water. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, praying earnestly. Oh God, did you bring us this far just to let us die in this boat? To drown in the sea? No. He was asleep. He was asleep. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, carest not that we perish? No. Don't you care that we're all going to die? Right? I mean, how many times have you done that to someone? Oh my God, we're all going to die here today. This is Star Trek. Or is it Stargate? Stargate. There's this one character on, I don't know if you're familiar with Stargate. It was a sci-fi series, and there's like Gate. And there's this like guy from another planet, and he says, today is a good day to die. No, they're not going to die. They're scared. And they said to him, they woke him and say, Master, don't you care? So I mean, they're questioning him. Don't you care that we're going to die? They're questioning his compassion. They're questioning his motive. Don't you care that we're going to die? Whatever. And when he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, I'm so glad that you woke me up. We were about to perish, and the boat was about to sink. And if you hadn't wakened me up when you did, I would have drowned in my sleep. No. That's what most of us think he'd say. Why are you so fearful or full of fear? If you're fearful, you're full of fear. Fearful is to be full of fear. How is it that you have no faith? Real quick introduction lesson on faith. It's the Greek word here in the New Testament. It's pistos, like a pistol. Pistos. And it means believe. Have you no belief in me? Have you no belief that what I said is true? Have you no belief in the things that I have told you? Why are you so full of fear? Do you not believe? Do you not have faith? Now, any one of us in any time, in any situation, we can say, okay, we know what we're doing is right. We know we're going to the right place. We thank you, Father, that you're providing a house for us.
That's right.
We thank you that you're providing for all of our needs. What have we just done? We spoke to the storm.
That's right.
We rose above it. We refused to get into fear over it. We refused to give in to it.
Right.
Come on, we've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
You speak to it. Isaiah 55. So I get you all with humor. And then you open up wide like a door. Isaiah 55. Remember we talked about, for several weeks, we talked about God's ways.
Right?
Right? Well, so Isaiah 55 should almost fall open in your Bible now. Starting in verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. You shall be led forth in peace. Peace. Be still. Okay, we just got this bad news. What does God say about it? What does he tell us to do about it?
Right?
Right. We're going to trust him. Why are we Doreen over there? I'm leaving the preschool, and you're going to be in charge. And by the way, most everybody is here that works for me is here for me, so they'll probably leave too. Okay. I mean, come on. I had that same conversation too. But listen, is it going to help us to get all distraught and to get all upset and to get into fear? Or do we just put our big boy pants on and big girl pants on, put our mud boots on, and trudge up there and get it done? Right? You just trudge up there and get it done. You don't get into fear. You don't fall on the ground. Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love. Faith, what you believe, works by love. 1 John 4:18. Let's look at 1 John 4:18. I feel compelled we need to look at that one. Let's start in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Fear comes on you, and it's a weight, it's a pressure. It says, you're never going to make it. Nothing's going to work out. You're going to get there, you're going to have to live in a motel. Everything that you've been working for is going to fall apart. So what? So what? What if it all falls apart? What if your business collapses? Have you failed because your business collapsed? No. You fail when you collapse and give up. Perfect love casts out fear. Who's perfect love? God. Jesus said, I have spread my love abroad in your heart by the Spirit who lives in you. The Spirit of God is love. He comes and he abides in us. He lives in us. If we understand that, then we won't be tormented by fear. We won't be tormented by the problems that come upon us, right? I mean, because some of us, I mean, we're going through stuff. They're going through stuff. There's people in this church going through stuff. Man, I'm telling you what, you couldn't tell. You could not tell, because come on, they're not pressured by it. They're not squeezed on the inside. They might be pressured on the outside. And I got some people going through some stuff, real pressure on the outside. But you would never know it, because their life is speaking forth the fruit. Let's look at John 15. No. Luke 10. You can open up John 15, but we're going to Luke 10 first. It doesn't matter to me. Luke 10. I love this one. Luke 10. Starting in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, referring to Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, weighted down, about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? There we are again, everybody accusing Jesus of not caring. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her, command her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said, you're right. Mary, you better get up and go in that kitchen and help serve the menfolk. Right? No, that's not what he said. Martha, Martha, thou art careful, covered with much care, much concern, anxiety, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What had Mary chosen to do? To sit at Jesus' feet. She's going to listen. She's going to learn. She's going to spend time with the Master. She's going to spend time with him. She's going to learn from him. What did Jesus say was the most needful thing? To be in the kitchen getting hospitality ready? Or to be out here listening to him? I'm not saying that I'm him. Do you understand? I'm saying, what's most important? Is it all the things that we see? We look, well, you know, we have to have this and we need to. No, we don't. We don't have to do all those things. We don't need to do all that stuff. What we need to do is get with the Master. Get with him. Hear from him. Hear what he has to say. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Why? Because it's in times like these that we come and we hear the word, that we fellowship together. We encourage one another. We build each other up. Where else can you go? You can go to your next door neighbor. Oh my gosh, you're so right. Here's a box of tissue. Let's cry about it. Or you can go to your church family. This is what's going on. All right, well, let's find some scriptures that deal with it. Let's talk about it. Let's get this thing taken care of. We're going to stand in faith believing with you.
That's right.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
So I've been to people's houses. They're going through it. Do they want me to come and share a tissue with them and eat bonbons? Or do they want to be built up and encouraged that God is going to help them through this? That no matter what it looks like right now, this is temporary. This is a momentary light affliction, and it too shall pass. Right? I mean, which is going to help you more? We're not compassionate. I mean, come on. We love you. And when you're going through stuff, I mean, you know, on the phone, text message, instant message, it doesn't matter. I'm going to find a way. We'll find a way. We'll connect. Well, I'm going to help you. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to encourage you. Because that's what Jesus would do. But do you know that, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Do you know that nowhere does it say that he sat down and he cried with them and commiserated about how awful things are? And then said, well, we'll just pray, but you know, God's just in charge. You just never know. No! What would Jesus do? Why are you so fearful? Why do you have no faith concerning this? And then he'd help them. Is this helping you at all? Maybe barely, just a little bit. John 14:27. God, I know it's helping me. I don't even have my regular Bible today. John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace. Did Jesus get upset in the storm? Jesus is about ready to face Gethsemane. He's about ready to face the cross. My peace I give you. Oh yeah, he got perplexed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was troubled and he was pressed in from every side. And he was sweating, as it were, drops of blood. Right? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We have to be with him to know what his will is. Can you never open your Bible, never read the word, and say, nevertheless, according to your word, be it unto me. I mean, how do you know? You don't even, if we don't open the Bible, how do we know what his word is concerning a situation? God said, my word is like rain. It comes up from the earth and it comes down and it waters. And it accomplishes the thing that I send it to do. Can you send it to do it if you don't know what it is? If you don't know what his word is concerning a situation, I mean, you know, in Matthew, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's talking to the people around him. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all the things the world seeks after will be added unto you. Why? Because you're putting your trust in him.
That's right.
You're not worrying about it. You're not laboring in your flesh, sweating, staying up nights, not able to sleep. Well, I trust Jesus. He's going to help me. And if this doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world for me. It's just the end of a chapter. Right? And then you move on. Praise the Lord. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is he telling us that we have some control over how our heart responds? Let it not be troubled. Let it not be afraid. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to get the word on it. You have to get what he says about it. Don't fear. Cast your care on him, for he cares for you. You got to care for something? Give it to him. And then don't, as soon as you're done, walk out and take it back. Because that's not really giving it to him. It's not giving it to him if you keep it. And we know we're keeping it if we're not sleeping at night. Last night, we were getting ready to go to sleep. I told Kathy, I said, oh man, I forgot to take Dad's car back and get mine. And I'm not even sure I closed the garage door. Well, he's in a retirement community. Worst possible case scenario is a raccoon gets in the garage. Or skunk. If somebody's going to break in, it's 11 o'clock now, they've probably already done it. All right, well, I'm not going to worry about it. I just trust Jesus. It's all going to work out. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to reason those things through, right? I mean, if, you know, we both left at 7:30 in the morning from his house, pulled out of the garage in his car. If we forgot collectively to close the garage door, well, he's got home insurance. Welcome home, Dad, by the way. Am I worried about it? I thought, well, I can get up early in the morning and I can drive down there and make sure everything. Why? To what end? Will it have fixed anything if something happened? No. It's not going to change anything if I get up early in the morning and drive down. See? Mary chose that one thing that was important. She sought Jesus instead. She sought trusting him instead. She sought listening to him instead. She sought, John said, Jesus is the Word of God. So you've got the Word of God sitting there, and you're going to be in the kitchen fixing food. When he can multiply loaves and fishes, are you going to be worried about not having enough food for people? Right? You're going to be worried, oh, the kitchen's a mess. Well, if you've ever had kids, you know that that doesn't change anytime soon. I mean, there's always a mess, isn't there? Let's look real quick. Skip over there to verse chapter 15. John 15. This is just coming out of Jesus saying, I'm going to leave my peace with you. Verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Well, that means he trims it so it'll bring more fruit next time, right? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So what does the word do? Jesus just said it right there. It cleans you off. It cleans away that thinking of I have to worry and I have to take fret. I talked last time, I said it's just this common practice where people think that if I'm not worried about you, I don't really care. But that's not the biblical precept, is it? It's not, you know that he loves you because he worries for you. You know, some spouses, well, if my husband doesn't worry about me, I just don't know if he loves me. What? How is worry a symbol of love? It's not. It's a doctrine of men. We just get carried away into this thinking that if we're worried about somebody, that means we love them. All right, going on, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can bear nothing. If we're abiding in him, if we're seeking him, if we're seeking his word, then we're abiding in him. So when pressure comes from the outside, what are you going to squeeze out from the inside? You're going to squeeze out peace. You shall go out with joy and be led by peace. You're going to go out with joy and be led by peace. Because his word is in you. It's abiding in you. And you say, well, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. You know, even if this person that I love dies, it's just temporary. You're going to see them again in heaven. It's just a temporary separation. I say, when my mom passed away, she just changed addresses. They don't accept mail or phone calls. You know what I'm saying? She's just moved to a different place. She's not gone. If she were gone, that just means she ceased to exist. Do you believe that when people die, they cease to exist? No. What happens to them? They enter into eternity. As a believer, as soon as you receive Jesus as your Lord, you entered into your heavenly eternity. You're working it out right now. You're walking in it right now. You're in eternity right now. There's just a slim veil that separates. Even death isn't final. I mean, come on. Worst case scenario, you die and end up with Jesus. Oh, no, don't you go there. You're stepping on sacred ground. No, death is not the end. Death is just another beginning for someone else. It's another beginning for you, another chapter, another phase in your life. Even with death, it's not final. Amen? If we abide in him and he abides in us, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but my peace. Peace. Peace and no matter what. Our pastors in Santa Barbara, her dad passed away, and Kathy said, I'm praying for you while you go through this. And she said, I'm not going through anything. Come on. She's not. She's walking in peace. She's going out with joy. That doesn't mean you don't cry a little bit because you miss somebody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even Jesus wept over Israel because they rejected him. It's okay to cry sometimes. It's okay. I'm not saying you can't cry. What I'm saying is, when you're done, I have peace. It's all going to work out. One step at a time. I'm pressed in from every side, but I'm not squeezed out. Trouble comes upon me from every direction. But you're my shield and you go before me. You have me encompassed round about. You know that scripture. You go before me, you're my hind guard, and you're my rear shield. Right? He encompasses me round about. I have peace in the midst of the storm. The boat's flooding. Peace. Things aren't working out. I got peace. There's an old song. What's that song? I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. Right? You've been out there and the peaceful river and the water's just flowing and it doesn't make any sound. You just got peace like a river. When we abide in him, no matter what we're going through, we can have peace. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you that no matter what we're going through, we can have peace. We have your peace, not as the world gives peace, which is temporary and fleeting, but your peace, which is eternal. It comes from abiding in you that no matter what we face, we have you. We have peace. We might be pressed in. In fact, right now, today, if there's anybody who's pressed, you're pressured. I want you to remember, pressure comes from without, not from within. Father, I just ask right now that you would manifest your peace in every person here today. Those that are struggling, Father, I just ask for peace. That your peace, which passes understanding, would encompass them round about, that they could walk through this life without carrying care and trouble and worry. I thank you for it, Father. Amen.